So we're going to talk about time this morning. Now, to kind of feed off a lot about what Rob was talking about, I do think it was interesting. When Rob and I first started putting together ideas for this sermon, Rob mentioned about time. You know, we need to talk about what we should spend our time on and things with time. And then I mentioned the whole duty of man, which was kind of funny because then when we came back to talk about what our lessons were going to be, he kind of went that way and I went off his thoughts. So it kind of worked out. It was funny because then neither of us needed to redo our lessons because we kind of fed off this. So Rob ended with a thought about us trying to keep track of our times to see what we do. I don't know if anybody has done that before, but I've had to do that before for certain things. I do a lot of compression planning where I work on projects, and I have to map out how much time things will take. And when you start looking at how much time it takes to do specific tasks, actually you're amazed about how much time is spent. I know that some colleges actually require students to hand in paperwork showing how much time they have so they can show a commitment. Well, with that, I was thinking this. Are we prepared to keep track so we can show our commitment? We are going to talk about a few things today about what we should spend our time on. Now, I'm using this lesson again. This applies to me greatly. This is something that I have to work on a lot. When I was putting this lesson together, there were so many times I was thinking, I really, really need to work on these subjects. So with today's lesson, I kind of put Matthew 6:33 down as kind of the overlying idea of this lesson. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But when I think of that, I think of time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I think of time spent. At seek ye first. Because when I talk with somebody, like Rob had mentioned, why do I say what my profession is? Did I say my profession is being a Christian? It might not be something that normally comes to our mind, but it is something that I've often thought about. So let's think about time spent. So I think of time in Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Then when you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. This is something that I've thought a lot about here recently. Redeeming the time. So what do you guys think of when you think of time? But when I think of time, I think of a clock. Not clocks. I think of clocks. I don't know. I love clocks. Actually, the watch that I have right here is full of gears, and you can watch the gears and everything click by. But clocks, all they do is measure time so we can perceive it. When I first thought about putting together this lesson, I thought about talking about time and how time is measured and all those things. But it really doesn't matter when it comes to this. Because we want to talk about spending our time with God. I am interested in time, and some of the funny things that I think about with time is I love reading about our time zones, how time zones were created. I was talking to my brother-in-law, Andrew, once, and I was watching the history of time, and he was like, "That's the most boringest thing I've ever heard of in my life." I was watching a history of how time zones were put together and clocks and all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, that really makes time fly, right? The history of time. But I think of clocks and the things that we perceive how time is read. Now, with clocks, this is just kind of how my brain works. I thought of another passage. Now, this might not be the passage that came to your mind when you were thinking of clocks. But here in Isaiah 38:7-8, it says, "And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the things which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring a shadow on the sundial which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Uzzah, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down." So I was thinking of, with clocks, I was thinking clock in the old times. Here's a sundial from the 1500s. So I was just thinking of that time isn't really measured this way with God, even to the point that he can change it. There's several times where we see that God actually held the sun in certain spots. But as with this, you can see that this is weathered. I think of that with time, too. As time passes, things break down. And I'm a very visual person. I've mentioned before, being dyslexic, I visualize things instead of with words. So when I think of time, I wanted to show representation of time, so I thought of clocks. Well, then I thought of weathering. You can see how this sundial doesn't look brand new. But when I was thinking of weathering, I thought of things like the Grand Canyon and, you know, the Colorado River cutting it through and all those things with weathering. But I also thought of this, of just about how time has passed and things have happened. This is a picture of the Oregon Trail, about how many wagons went over the Oregon Trail and cut into this. This just didn't happen over one time. This is repeatedness, this happening, and actually people could follow this trail. So when we think of time, I think of some sayings about time. You can't make time, even though my dad proves he can by driving faster. I don't think that that is a way that you can make time. You can't buy time. And I hear this one a lot. There's only 24 hours in a day. Then I hear a lot of other people tell me, you have the same 24 hours that I do. I hear that one a lot. Also, time is a thief. And I think of Oliver Twist, Charles Dickinson, procrastination is the thief of time. So these are some of the things that we think of with time. Now, also with time, time is something that we can't really show. But it's the thing that people talk about the most, because when you talk about people's regrets, it involves time. So I was thinking, so I jumped out to Forbes and started reading. This is somebody's breakdown of the biggest regrets, just kind of categorized by what people have said. So regrets, people say that they work too much, they didn't stay in touch with friends, they should have left their phone at home. All of these deal with time. All of these deal with time. And I do think it's interesting. We have a lot of passages and things that God have instructed us to work on these exact regrets. So without coming back and reviewing these regrets later, I'm pretty much going to touch on all of these, but with God's word on how he says we should spend our time. So let's look at the first one. The first one, of course, is family. I think about five or six of those regrets dealing with time focused on family. So since it is Father's Day, I figured I'd mention a few things like that. So let's look here in Deuteronomy 11 and 19. It says, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise up." I was thinking of this, of teaching our children. This is also in Proverbs 22 and 6, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This isn't something that we just spend a couple hours at or some time here and there. This, to me, is a long-term goal. This is something that should happen often, daily, regularly. I think of this along with Deuteronomy, even though these are not connecting verses. But, every time that you do something, every time that you do something. Also, about family in Ephesians, "And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So when we talk about training and bringing them up, we should do it in the training of the Lord. Also in Matthew 15 and 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death." That was my other warning for kids. Now, some people are like, "Well, that doesn't fit." Well, that was my warning. So that's with family. We talk about family, about how you should be raised and how you should focus on God as part of the family. Now, along with family and with friends, we think of the sick. So these are things that we should look at spending our time on. Some of the regrets were, "I wish I would have visited a neighbor," or "I wish I would have visited this friend before they passed away. I never got to see him again." I actually have a faculty member that works for me right now that actually had to fly back home to China. They don't think his dad is going to live very much longer. So he sent me a long request about wanting to go home to see his father for the last time. And I was thinking about this as I was putting the lesson together. To think about being countries away and getting a call that's saying, "Hey, this might be the last time you get to see your father." However, this is actually preached in James. James is a book that I love referring back to several times, especially about sick and things that we should do with our time. So let's look here in James 1, 2, and 7. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So it talks about what we should do with our time. Also, later in James 5, 13 through 15 says, "If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So I see the time that is spent with the elders going and praying with the ones that are sick, using this time with one another. Also, when I think of sick and things that we should spend our time on, Jesus gave this warning here in Matthew 25, starting in verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, and take you in, or naked, and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison, and come to you. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I think of this as a warning of what we should do with our time. Jesus mentions many things here of things that we should be doing. And I think of this in the instance of time. You know, are we doing these things? And like I said, this lesson is more for me than it is for anyone. I think of myself all the time. Are these the things that I'm doing? Are these the things that I have said that I put my time together for? So are we living accordingly with our time? I think in 1 Peter 4:3-6, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Again, a warning. When we walk in lewdness and lust and drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of disposition, seeking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, but those might be judged according to men in flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So every time I see that word live, I think of that time span of our lives. Did we do these things according to our lives? And one of the things that I thought was interesting going along with these verses about how we spent our time is maybe to meditate. I'm going to think about this for a little bit. So in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Meditation isn't something that I normally talk about or think about. So I thought I would define this here real quick, this word meditate. It says to think deeply or focus one's minds for a period of time in silence, or with the aid of chanting or religious spiritual purpose or a method of relaxation. That's weird. No, there's something that I've always thought that the word meditate meant. I've always considered it prayer. Whoa. I don't know what happened there. So I wasn't meditating. So I've always thought of the word meditate with prayer. I've heard a lot of other rituals or sayings about meditation, but I thought about, what about prayer? Prayer to me is that meditation. And I often think of even the song, Did You Think to Pray? You know, is this something that I'm spending my time on? Am I praying? Am I meditating on the things that I just mentioned there in Philippians 4:6? Things that are lovely, things that are noble, things that are true. We think of things that uplift us. Because this is, according to the definition, a spiritual purpose method of relaxation. And I've thought of this often. So I've tried to start off my days, even in my office, spending about 10 minutes praying. I think some people would consider that meditation. And sometimes I think, man, if I just had 10 minutes, that would be great. But just spending some time in meditation. Because with meditation, there's things to go along with that. We can talk about things that we can pray for. We can literally give all of our worries and troubles to God. There shouldn't be anything better to relax us than praying and giving our worries and trials to God. And He gives us that avenue through prayer. So with prayer, think of Matthew 6:5-6. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door and prayed to the Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I was kind of thinking of this along with meditation. Something that if we should spend our time in prayer to God gives us this avenue. Also, time studying. So with prayer, we should also spend our time studying. So in Acts 17:11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. So they searched the scriptures daily. They spent this time daily studying. So we know what we should be spending our time on. Also, talents. I thought I would add this in here. This parable on talents talk about what we should spend our time on. In Matthew 25:14-19, I kind of just paraphrased. I pulled out a couple verses and then we'll start in verse 20. The first part of this parable talks about the talents. So we have a man traveling to a far country, and to his workers. He gives 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and another 1, and each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So he goes on this journey, and in verse 19, says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So let's see what happens when he went to settle these accounts. So this is starting in Matthew 25, 20 through 25. We're going to read all the way through 30. So if this text is small, that's where we are. So it says, starting in verse 20, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So we see the one that had 5 gained more. And this was over a period of time. That's why I wanted to make sure that that verse said, you know, after a long time, he came back. So in verse 22, it says, he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. With that word lazy, I always think of he did not spend his time well. You know, when we think of being lazy, we think of not doing anything with our time. You wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money within the banks. At my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will be abundant. But for him who does not have, even what he will be taken away. And cast an unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I was thinking, this is kind of how I perceive time. We're given this time and ability. God gives us these talents. What are we to do with them? Are we to use our time in between him coming to make sure that we are ready for when he comes back? Because how exactly does God view time? I have a couple of verses to kind of go along with this. But this view of time, because with this parable, we see that he was gone for a certain amount of time, and he expected some progress to be done when he came back. So in 1 Timothy, it says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. So how does God view time? Well, he's immortal. Also, in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, 1 day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, 1 day. So, I believe a lot of you probably have heard the saying a lot of preachers have said about what a day and a time is like. And I've heard this story 2 or 3 different ways. And it normally starts off with some type of bird, whether it be an owl or a hawk. And normally the phrase is if there was an owl or a hawk that flew up to the moon, swiped the moon with its wing and flew back to Earth, and it did that enough times to evaporate the moon, that's 1 day in the life of God. I've heard that over the years multiple times about if that were to happen, you can think of how far the moon is away, and just the brush of some feathers to erode away the moon, just think of how much time that would take. That's just kind of the view of time. Now, that's God's view of time. Our view of time is a little different. I've used this verse several times before. In James 4 and 14, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So we saw God's view of time, that it's infinite. But our time, just when I ever think of vapor, I think of making coffee. So I had to have that picture. Guys, I think of whenever I make a cup of coffee, I have a little bit of vapors for like maybe 3 minutes. And that's about it. And it often makes me think of that verse, that we're only here for a little bit. But we're given instructions of what we are to do with our time. Because how do we spend our time? Do we spend it studying, visiting the sick, raising our families, in prayer and meditation, using our talents? You know, I was thinking along with Rob's challenge that if these were some of my buckets, how much time would I actually have in these? And to tell you the truth, I probably don't have very much. I'd probably be saddened if I took, you know, a real account of these things. Or I wish that I could spend more time in these places. So with that, we think of we can spend our time. It is just a vapor, but God gives us this ability. Because we should be spending our time in the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 3 it says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So every moment that we have, this is what our job is. This is what our title is as Christians. Also, we are to give an account of our time. So we've touched on a few things about what we should spend our time on. But we're going to have to be accountable for what we spend our time on. And that's kind of how I'd like to close our lesson today. Because here in Romans 14 and 12 it says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. What will be in that account? What will we be making an account of? Also in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So that they may receive the things done in the body. So the time that we have here on earth. The time that we have. I hope this lesson has been worth your time. I hope some of the thoughts today will make you think about, or maybe some thoughts that you've never thought about before concerning and how we should perceive it. With that, if you think it's your time to become a child of God, please come forward as we stand and sing number 948.